Sarah Barzac grew up in London, Ontario. She moved to Toronto in 2020 after, she says, years of dealing with Islamophobia. She says her only regret about leaving London, Ontario, is that she didn't move sooner. However, she returned back to London recently to be with her parents in the wake of a horrific killing of four members of the Azoff family, and was inspired to write about what happened then and what her growing up in London, Ontario, as a Muslim was like. Very powerful article. We appreciate her taking the time today, Sarah. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit, Sarah, about your experience in London growing up. Tell us what it was like in your own words.
For sure. So my family immigrated to Canada, and specifically London, Ontario. That's the first place they immigrated to in 1997. So I was about five, six-ish, going into senior kindergarten. And I went to French immersion school in first grade, and I was one of four racialized students in class. So I stuck out like a sore thumb. I had a bit of a Malay accent because I had lived in Malaysia just prior to moving, but I was born in the US. And yeah, it was just, you know, subtle things of just always feeling othered. But I would say, even like looking back, there was a time when my mom pulled up my report card and asked, like, why did you get like a satisfactory on your participation grade? And I said, you know, when I put up my hand, the teacher doesn't pick me. And it's little things like that that I think, looking back, really are subtle ways in which racism or otherness or Islamophobia kind of all intertwine. The brunt of it, though, was really when I was helping my dad out in his convenience store. That's where people would say things like, go back to your country, when they would get angry at my dad, or when cigarette prices go up, people would say things like, you people are thugs, or, you know, older white folks would say things like, oh, you're so articulate, like you speak so well. And there's just subtle like racist and like classist implications with those kinds of statements. And those interactions kind of really put me to want to see change in my community. And eventually I ran a municipal campaign right after graduating from undergrad. And I experienced a lot of that on the ground as well.
Now, when you would experience that sort of campaigning, that's when you would go door to door?
Mm-hmm.
And you would experience the same type of thing from people that just didn't want to talk to you?
Well, so when it came to campaign, you know, we were a young, ambitious team. My candidate was turning 25. I was turning 25 that same year. Muslim-centric leadership, all under the age of 30. We had racialized volunteers, hijabi volunteers, Black volunteers, all kinds of volunteers, really. And I myself am a non-hijabi woman, so I don't visibly read as Muslim to the average person. But what I noticed was when we would knock on door to door, constituents would only keep their eyes on me, and they would feel particularly uncomfortable around our hijabi volunteers. Or when I'm knocking door to door, I would talk, when we do debriefs with our Black volunteers, specifically our Black male volunteers, you know, white constituents were very like quick to close their doors and feel very like almost threatened by their presence. So I started to kind of like, I would join them on the door-to-door knocking, right. And I would be the one to have to introduce them. And I would notice, like, as soon as they see like a young Black person, they feel a little bit like defensive. And then I almost had to diffuse the situation. And I feel like that's like, you know, myself being a non-Black person of color, I think like I'm read as less threatening. And I think like, yeah, there's tones of anti-Blackness included with that as well.
And what makes Toronto different? Because you've said your experience in Toronto is very different than your experience in London.
Well, for one thing, it's a lot easier for me to connect with like-minded people because I think there are a lot more communities available for me to connect with. So recently I've been involved with the Real Asian Film Festival, and this is the first time I've really like worked and like collaborated with an Asian-centric space. And it's just been, it's given me a lot of relational healing in the wake of not just like Islamophobia and racism, but anti-Asian hate. Cause I am read as an Asian woman, I think, to a lot of people. And so it's been really healing for me to be working with, yeah, Asian leadership. And that's been really great. And just people who align with similar like values, like social values, political values. There's just a lot more room for community. I live in Kensington Market, so that's its own
sure is.
Its own cultural,
it's its own like, world.
It's its own world.
It really is. So, it's awesome.
It's amazing. It really is. And so it really does feel like, yeah, this is where what home should feel like. Like I shouldn't I shouldn't almost feel like I don't feel small. Like, I feel really small in London. And I think I haven't been back in London since September. Like, I moved to Toronto in September 2020. And right. This is my first time coming back in the wake of this tragedy. And I do notice, like, as I'm walking down the street, I am a little, like, I do kind of shrink a little bit. I do feel, like, a little bit smaller. And I do, like, dare I say it, like, I'm a little scared of white people here sometimes. Like, I'm like, do they really want to engage with me? Do they really like me? Or, like, I don't know what thoughts are on their mind.
Also,
but in Toronto, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Sarah, you know, considering what happened in London, it's a very, very, you know, real feeling to have. And as we talk yeah. about the horrible things that happened in London, this family murdered, allegedly intentional, because they were Muslim. And now the conversation, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. There's a petition going around to push the federal government to create a national day against Islamophobia. Do you think something like that is helpful, or is it just slack division?
I mean, I think there is some value to, like, you know, a symbolic reference. Like, I think there is some value to it, but I don't think that a national day of Islamophobia is going to solve Islamophobia. Like, I don't think that's the end all be all. I think that's just one avenue of, like, symbolic gesture, but it's just a gesture. Like, I don't think that it actually does anything materially for Muslim people, because Islamophobia has been running rampant for decades. Like, this isn't something that's going to be solved in a day.
So it's more or less about, you know, continuing to educate, continuing to learn, continuing to have these conversations yeah. instead of trying to hammer it all into one day. Listen, we know that you had to move a bunch of stuff around to talk to us today. Thank you for sharing your story, and continue to do that, okay?
Okay, thank you.